Accession number 28147, reel 14.
And the responses. You only sang the hymns. Now, at that time, I have to take the whole thing in a block from when I was 3 up to when I was 9. The other, after the Irish 9, that's another thing altogether, further on. But I also have to take it in a block because I do not remember the different dates and times. I think it was 1902, I'm almost certain it was, there was a parliamentary election. And to get it right, the Liberal candidate was a man named Tonnery Locke, and the Conservative, his name was Medhurst. Now, I was 5 years old at that time, and when my father went to work in the morning, he told my mother, if there's any canvassers come, don't tell them who I'm voting for. Well, early in the evening, after school, there was a knock came on the street door, and the man was there. My mother went and opened it, and I followed her and stood beside her while this chap was trying to get out of her who my father would vote for. And in the end, I thought to myself, I suppose it's time I got in on this act. So I said, I'm a politicker too. I vote for Tommy Locke. Well, my mother wasn't at all pleased, I might tell you. She shut the door and I got a clip of the ear for it too. But when my father came home, she told him, he sat and he laughed to kill himself. He said, that's the right boy. He says, you know who to vote for. You carry on. You can't go wrong. That was the 1902 election. Another thing I didn't tell you before and explain was the lamplighters. They used to come round with a long pole, and on the end of the pole was a metal round base, and inside that was a light. I don't know whether it was candle or oil or what it was, but there was a light in there. And also on the end of this pole was a hook, and the lamps, there was a square hole at the bottom, and he used to push this through there and hook the burner down, and so that lit up, and he wired the light in case the bypass was out, and so that lit up. The lamp posts were 100 yards apart, each side of the road, but the other side was in between the other two, if you understand my meaning. I'm not making it very clear, I'm sure. So there was only kind of 50 yards between the lights. And he used to go, when he came, he used to go backwards and forwards across the road from one to the other and lighting them up. And the same thing when he came around in the morning, when he turned them out. Well, now, there's one thing, I can't tell you when it was, and that was the opening of the King's Way. That was opened, I'm almost certain, Edward VII, he opened it himself. But The trams, there was a certain amount of electric trams at that time, were not allowed to go down there, so they burrowed under the King's Way, and they were single-decker trams, and they went down this side and came out the other. One year, I know I was taken down there, but I don't remember it. Well then, you've got to realise that politics at that time were quite different to what they are today. Arguments and everything else was carried on. Everyone carried their colours and all that kind of thing. Meetings were held in the streets, open air meetings, and every night there was meetings in the big halls and that. And the one that I can remember was the one in the swimming baths down Caledonian Road. That was the 1906 election. And I was then 9 years old. And on the polling day that we had, I'll explain a bit more about the polling days in a minute too. We was all away from school. So us boys, we decided to go down to the committee rooms. There was both the Liberal and the Conservative parties had committee rooms in Caledonian Road, well, opposite each other too. And we went down because they used to have a lot of handbills and they wanted children to give away. We went in the Liberal committee rooms and I said we'd have some, and they really run us out. They didn't want anything to do with us. So in annoyance we went across the Conservatives and asked them if we could give some handbills out. And they gave us plenty, as much as we could carry. And I thought afterwards, well, I thought then, if my father hadn't have come here, I should get a living good hiding. I don't know much about it. But anyway, that's what happened. And that was the last election in the plural vote system. By that I mean all men under 21 had a vote. But if you held property in one constituency and property or business in another constituency, you got two votes. So that was the what they called the plural vote system, where, well, if you've got three places in different constituencies, I expect you'd get three votes. But anyway, on the average, two votes. And to overcome that, the voting system, the election was not held on one day. Different constituencies polled on different days. So if you've got a place in A and you've got a vote there, you've got plenty of time, a couple of days, to get to your other place to vote there as well. On top of that, there was the votes of the universities. They all, if you've got a vote in the university as a don and that kind of thing, you've got a vote there besides the one you've got in your constituency where you lived. said, but that was the last election that was voted on that system, 1906-11 election, because the Liberals won that election, and that was the first election and winning that Asquith was the Prime Minister. And they passed a bill doing away with the plural vote system, and also that in future all elections would be held on the same day. That was that. There was also in the 1906 election a bill which was passed for health insurance. You had a card and you had to buy the stamps at the post office. They were fourpence each. You had to stamp this card, and that was paid, your card when it was full, was paid either to a club, most people at that time joined a club for health and that, and they took it, or otherwise you could pay it through into the same as the Pearl and the Prudential and insurance people. That was that. Another bill that was passed in the 1906 government was to do away with all these different sections of education, such as the schools. All the schools, there was a school board for London, church schools, chapel schools, they was all done away with. And under this Education Act, all the education of the children came under the different local councils. Where the church schools and that were going, the people of their church schools, they were appointed managers at that time. So that was more or less the 1906. I'm getting on a bit past than I thought I would. I don't think I can remember anything more at that time. Then my people moved from London because my father had an accident and couldn't do his job, and came to Shelford. That was when I was 12 years old. Well, then I went to school there, and also I was in the choir at Great Shelford Church, where I became leader of the boys and soloist. And at that time, the first time, the boys' school and the girls' school were absolutely separate after the infants. And the headmistress of the girls' school couldn't control the girls. And so the managers, in their wisdom, placed the headmaster over the whole school. And the boys and girls then were mixed. But you didn't all sit together. If you mean not mixed up. There's three, I remember, I was in standard 7. There's three rows of boys in there, in the front. And three rows of girls at the back. Well, that was all right. I was in the back row of the boys. There was a girl behind me in the front row of the girls. Well, I don't know. When we went out to play, I got rather a fancy for this girl. And when we got back inside after playground, I put my hands behind me and caught hold of her leg.
Ooh.
She made no more ado. She dipped her pen in the inkwell and poked that on my hand. So there was quite a blotch on my hand for some time after that, where the ink ran under the skin. But I'll tell you this now. That girl and the boy and I, in future years, were man and wife. Now that was where schoolboy romance came to fruition.
Marked for life.
Really? I said this wouldn't be the last, but it looks to me as if I'm about to run out.
And you're only 12 years old.
But, anyway, there will be one or two other things I can think of. In that 1910 election, a bill was passed for the old age pension. Because the 1910 election, that was a Liberal landslide, and that was the last Liberal government there has ever been. They pushed this bill through. That was 10 shillings a week for every man and woman under 70. If a married couple were both 70 at that time, that was £1 a week going into them. And what's more, they did not pay for it. That was absolutely free. The Tory people at that time, on the third reading in the Commons, there was only 11 Conservative members to vote for that measure. The others either abstained from voting or voted against, because they said that giving the people old age pension without paying made them paupers. Well, that's how it was in 1910. I well remember it. Because I was really brought up in politics. And on that 1910 election, that there was, as I did in all elections, towards the end of the polling time, I used to run around trying to pick up people who hadn't voted to get their vote and vote. And that, in that, there was no Liberals, they couldn't afford it. But mostly Conservatives used to. And there was, at Shelford there was a break when two horses was going round to pick up people who hadn't voted. And the driver didn't know where people lived. So I went round with him to show him where they lived. And as regards whether it was Liberal, Labour or anybody, it didn't make any difference to me. And that's where it was. So they fetched them up and then they took them back again. And I believe that's the kind of thing that is happening nowadays. They go around to try to pick up people who haven't voted. Well, I think that's about all. I can't think of anything else now. I'm running out of steam. But there it is. If there's any questions, now's your time. Anything that, to do with London or anything else. Because you might cop up about something that I've not told you, and I should have done.
Well, what year was it that women got the vote? Can you remember?
Oh, that you're going now right up to after the First World War.
Ah.
That would be somewhere, I suppose.
Was it when 19, 20 or 21,
somewhere about that.
But they must have been pushing.
Oh, they've been pushing
time.
For years. Mm. Because there was Mrs. Pankhurst was one of the highlights of the Vote for Women movement. Yeah. And her and her daughter were arrested several times. And when they got to into prison, they were sentenced to so long. And forcibly fed. They wouldn't feed. So they were forcibly fed. Mm. And they tell me that's one of the most terrible things out.
Yeah,
I don't know. I've never been forcibly fed, no one ever will be. But, yes, one trick they had, they chained themselves to the railings of the House of Commons.
I remember reading
that.
That
was a thing. That, they was always on the go, vote for women.
Did they have a lot of sympathy with the ordinary people? Did they have a lot of sympathy with the ordinary people? You know, how did your father,
well,
for instance,
think
about
it? Well, I don't think the ordinary women at that time cared much one way or the other, as far as I can remember. But all these votes for women, as far as I can see and what I can remember, the ones that were the militants, well, they were all moneyed people.
Yes, yes.
You see? And because you've got to realise, you see, in that time of day, things, as I was only talking about it the other day, married women did not, as a rule, go out to work.
No.
They stayed at home and looked after their children. And as regards politics, they haven't got much interest. It was left to the men.
Usually the women
at that time.
The men did.
Yes.
Have to work to help out. don't
they? Well, I think it's gone beyond that, Gladys, because I think now that women are doing more interesting jobs than they could have done many years ago.
Yes, that is the point. No, at that time, mind you, you got, same as my sister, when she left school, she went as a clerk and that kind of thing. That was a job that most girls at that time took, clerks and that kind of thing. But when they married, as a rule, you've always got to take the as a rule, when they married, they did not carry on with their work. They used to come and look after children and that kind of thing. Especially, they might have carried on for a little while until there was a child expected, and that was their finish.
But not so the country woman, though, really, if you think about it. What would you say? You still worked the land with your husband, didn't you? And you did the house and the family. Yes.
Well, is there anything else? How long have I got now?
Well, we can let that go. We've got probably another, few minutes. Just a few minutes, probably.
Well, I might tell you this, perhaps. It's nothing to do with that. But it might interest you. And it was the job that I had. I don't think most people realise what it involves. In fact, we had while I was at Whitefield, we had the builders there, and one of them said, "I reckon you've got a lovely job walking around here and doing nothing." I said, "Thank you very much." Another one said, "Well," he said, "I wouldn't have it. Not for £10 a week." I said, "And you wouldn't get it at £10 a week, because I don't get £10 a week." He said, "But yes," he said, "but he was a carpenter. He said, if I mess up a piece of wood," he said, "I simply go and get another." And he says, "You can't do that." He said, "If you lose a crop, that's gone." I said, "I don't lose crops." And he said, "I don't believe it." I said, "Well, I don't. But, you see, at the place I'd got, my job, there was 6 in family, 3 maids, and I had got to supply them with vegetables and flowers, not one day a week, but twice a day, lunch and dinner, for 365 days a year. And whatever, I used to have to go in and see the mistress every 10 o'clock every morning, see what they wanted. And they didn't go down well if they wanted something and I hadn't got. But I worked that one out. There's a small estate next to ours, and the gardener there came round to me one day and he says, "Have you got a lettuce bill?" He said, "You can let me have." I said, "Yes, you can have a dozen if you want." And that was the beginning of a liaison between him and me. If I happened to be short, I'd go around him and he'd help me out. The people we worked for never knew anything about it. And you see, that kind of thing, it doesn't begin and end at work. You come in to think, when the catalogues came in November time, when I got home at night, I'd got to sit round there and work out what seed and things that I should want in the next 12 months. and how much the different seeds I could possibly look forward to what I should be able to have. You don't do that in 5 minutes, I can assure you. It's a proper headache. And now I'll tell you one or two things perhaps that happened at that time with the maids. There was only one long glass, you know, looking glass, in the house. And the parlour maid, she bought a new dress. She wanted to see what she looked like in it. Well, master and mistress, they went out, and so she thought to herself, and this long glass, mind you, was in the master's bedroom. So she couldn't go any other time, they were there, so she thought to herself, right, now's my chance. So she does no more ado, she gets all dolled up in this new dress. Went upstairs into his bed.